Hello, and welcome to Adventures in Regression Therapy. I'm Steve Burgess, hypnotherapist and regression specialist, and together with members of my team, we'll be introducing you to the fascinating world of past life regression. In each episode, we'll be discussing the importance of regression therapy, the range of physical, emotional, and spiritual issues it can help with, and sharing some of our clients' stories from the many thousands of regression sessions we've facilitated over the years. We hope you enjoy the ride with us as we explore the power of past life regression.
Hello, and welcome to Adventures in Regression Therapy. I'm Monique Glover, and this is my lovely co-host today, Steve Burgess, hypnotherapist and regression therapist. And today's episode, we thought we'd talk a little bit about OCD and how we've seen it in practice, how we use regression therapy to treat OCD, some success stories around that. So, Steve, you want to hit it off with some of your findings in your practice?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I sometimes think OCD is a forgotten issue, actually. I mean, we know people talk a lot about depression and anxiety, both of which are epidemic in the world. But obsessive compulsive disorder, which is a form of an anxiety-based issue, is often forgotten about. And sometimes that's partly because of the shame that OCD sufferers have to bear, because sometimes the compulsive behavior patterns that the sufferer is involved in are actually quite ridiculous and very embarrassing. So OCD, I think, tends to get pushed under the carpet, and which is a shame. So it gets hidden and people don't think about it. But in regression therapy, we can do great work with it. And I mean, I've worked with many people with different types of OCD over the years. I think probably the most extreme OCD client I had was a lady who, and this is the common OCD, was hand washing and cleanliness. And she was so obsessed with cleanliness and not becoming contaminated by germs. And germs, by the way, may not exist. This is a germ theory is only a theory. But she was terrified of being contaminated. She would wash her hands at least 36 times a day. And every time she washed her hands, she'd be doing it for 5, 10, often 15 minutes at a time. She actually had no skin. The top layer of skin on her hands was worn away. And she had to wear gloves all the time. She was so obsessed with cleanliness that if she was sitting at home watching the TV with her husband, and if her husband got up to just open the door to go into the kitchen, she would immediately spring up, grab a handful of tissues, and wipe the door handle. They were spending £250 a month on tissues alone. £250 just on tissues. Cleaning materials before she went out in the morning anywhere, or before she went to work, because she was able to hold a job down, goodness knows how. Before she went to work in the morning or before she went out anywhere, she did 2 or 3 hours cleaning in the house. So this was a really severe obsession. That's probably the most severe that I've worked with. But of course, another type of obsession or OCD is checking things or needing to have things in the same place all the time. And I had a young man came to me years ago with OCD, and he was looking to get, I think he was about 19 or 20, and he was looking to get a job working in a prison. But he realized that if he had all of these behaviors, it wouldn't last 5 minutes in a prison environment. And so some of his obsessions, now I've had to write them down because there were so many of them. They actually started when he was about 7 or 8 years old. because his mother would yell and scream at him about leaving the lights on and leaving electric things on. So about 7 years old, he started checking and rechecking and rechecking the switches. Everything was switched off. The lights were switched off. By the time he got to 11, it became checking doors and windows were locked. And he wouldn't just check once or twice. He would check time after time after time, especially before he went to bed on a night. His bedroom, everything had to be in the same place. Everything. If his mother dusted and moved something a millimetre out of place, he would go berserk at her and get really angry. He had a thing about door handles not drooping down. So he would go checking the door handles were up or level and not drooping down. He started to have a fear of the number three and multiples of three. And the only way he could neutralize that was by doing things with the number 11. He had to make sure that the taps were off all the time. He then started to have to sniff his fingers regularly in case they smelled of copper. At some point, he started blinking and he had a nervous sniff and then a nervous cough. And this had gone on for right through late childhood into adolescence. Now, obviously, one of the questions, as we know, is that we ask clients in the first session is, you know, anything happened that may have caused this? And he told me that when he was, I think, about 7 or 8, there was a burglary at the family home. And what happened is burglars broke in during the night and stole stuff. And they also killed his pet rabbits as well in the garden. The family didn't hear anything. They just came down the next morning and then found that the house was in turmoil, windows broken, whatever. And that shock of that made him massively obsessional about checking the doors and the windows. Now, I thought that we'd probably be able to fix this OCD just by releasing the trauma of that burglary, because it was obviously still bothering him. And we spent one session, the first session, doing EFT, actually. He didn't do regression. We did tapping. And he came back a week or two later, and he'd actually stopped checking the doors and the windows as a result of the EFT. We neutralized the trauma of that burglary. Because obviously that little boy thought we could be dead. You know, these people could have broken in and could have killed us. So it could have been that severe. But so there was an immediate improvement, but then we started to do regression. There were several past lives which were connected to causing the behaviours. The first past life was he was a young man on a tropical island, and his village got raided by another tribe. And although he escaped, they killed his baby child, his young child, and they took his wife to the other tribe as a slave. And obviously this was very traumatic, and he wasn't able to do anything straight away. But a few years later, he went to another part of the island where this other tribe was with a friend and his son. And he saw his wife. They were watching from sort of in the trees in the jungle, you could say. And he saw his wife. And as she saw him through the trees, she smiled. But somebody in the village saw her smile and then clocked him and his friend in the trees. They immediately ran over. They grabbed him. And they killed his wife. They killed his son. And they killed him as well. So there was a lot of trauma, obviously, in that particular life. But we went through the death, and then we released that past life, as we always do, and released the trauma. Second past life, he was a young soldier in the Second World War. He was in charge of men in a battle, in a skirmish somewhere in a town, and he didn't have a clue what he was doing. For some reason, he'd been made into a sort of an officer, a corporal, I think, or something, and men were dying everywhere, so he was in charge. As a result of his naivety and lack of knowledge, men got killed. He got wounded, and he actually ran away from the battle and felt massively guilty. In another past life, he was on board a ship in the engine room, and the ship started to take on water and the engine was failing. So him and another member of the crew were in the engine room trying to fix things. And then the water came up so much that they couldn't open the hatch. It got stuck with the water and they drowned. So those are pretty unpleasant past lives, of course. And we release those. There was a big improvement by clearing those past lives. Some rituals were still remaining at the time, but we did some more work and there were two more past lives. And one of them was in Russia, maybe I would guess in the 1800s. And he was a young man who had been taken into a sort of a gang of thugs. They were all dressed in furs and big furry hats and things. And he went to a former gang member's house or hut because he'd been stealing from them. And they burst into his house and they shot him. And then they told my client, this young man, to shoot his children. And he couldn't do that. He was horrified by this. So he turned the gun on the gang, shot one of them. But of course, they immediately shot him and killed him. And the last past life was as a young boy. I would guess this was probably 18th century England. And him and his young sister heard the parents arguing and ran to try to stop the parents from arguing. It's a vicious argument. And the father actually had the mother down on the floor and was strangling her. So he stopped when the two children ran into the room. And then the mother, he was apologizing to the children. The mother came up with a knife and stabbed him in the back and then grabbed the children, runs out of the house. And there was a carriage waiting outside with another man in it. And my client said, I realized my mother's been having an affair with this other man. And as the father came out, staggering out after the wife and the children towards the carriage, they put the children in the carriage and said, close the curtains. And they heard a gunshot as the man was outside. Obviously, the lover of their mother had shot the father, and then they just rode off in the carriage. So that's quite intense stuff. And, you know, you could say, what on earth's that got to do with checking things and door handles? Well, we don't exactly have to know in whatever way his mind has sort of turned in all the anxiety and fear and tension stuff into these behaviours helped him to stay safe. That's what the behaviour were doing. They were giving him some sort of control.
So I was going to say underlying all of them is some innate need for safety in this environment, his family or even the people that he was responsible for. Even you were talking about checking these hatches. And I thought, oh, well, that reminds me of the door handles, kind of checking that, you know, they didn't check the hatches and then the water came in. Well, that's very similar to, it could be to a doorknob. That's interesting. So do you find it is this underlying fear and anxiety for most of these behaviors then underneath it all?
Yeah, I think the core emotions with OCD is fear and anxiety. And when we release those fears, then the anxieties, then everything calms down. And usually then the behaviours dissolve away, although as we both know, we would do some post-hypnotic suggestion work as well around this, just to put some new suggestions into the subconscious about changing those old behaviours as an adjunct to what we do in regression.
Well, it's interesting too that you talked about this life, but then there were all these past lives. And if you think if you're only working on this life, that it's almost very surface level that it maybe helped him a little bit, but until you dig down into the past lives, you're not actually getting into the core of the issue. That if you stop there, you're stopping too soon until you actually get to the core and dig that out and resolve everything from that. Yeah.
And of course, you know, he had no interest or belief in past lives. He was a 19, 20-year-old working lad. You know, this whole concept of past lives was not very strange. But he went along with it, let the sessions happen. and he got better. I saw him, I think, a year later, and he was completely happy. None of the behaviours had come back. He was doing well in the job in the prison. So, you know, this stuff works, even though it's a bit strange, it works.
Yeah. Well, and how often do we tell our clients just to go along with it, even if you feel like you're making it up, that if your conscious mind, if you go too into that mode and you start analyzing everything, it stops the process. So every time you start analyzing it, it stops it instead of just going with whatever is coming to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And when people do that, then the success happens.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember another young girl, young woman who her OCD was very strange and very embarrassing for her. And what this was, every time she went through a door, she had to tap with her foot 6 times on the floor on one side of the door. Then she'd go through the door, turn around, and tap another 6 times on the other side of the floor, on the other side of the door, on the floor with a foot. And you think, well, okay, it's no big deal. It's not like washing your hands 36 times a day. But it was so embarrassing. When she was at work, she tried to hide it. But one day, somebody in the office saw her do it. And then word went round the office. And what happened then, every time she went out through the door, everybody in the office would stop work, watch her, snigger, and then get back on with work again. So she was so ashamed about this. I had a lady who had sort of a form of trichotillomania. And trichotillomania is this issue where people pull their hair out. And one lady came once and she called me on the phone and she said, you know, I've pulled all my hair out. And she sat in my office in front of me. It's obviously a long time ago before we all went online. And she came in and she had a beret on, a beret, you know, like a French beret. And she had hair coming down. And so she sat down and I said, I thought you said you didn't have any hair. And she took the beret off and the whole top of her head was bald. Completely bald. She'd pulled all of this out, but she'd left a ring of hair hanging down so that when she put the beret on, nobody would know that she was doing it. And of course, you know, the trichotillomania again, it responds very well usually to regression work, as did this. Most of the root cause of this was actually anxieties caused by her mother in her childhood. And of course, with trichotillomania, it includes pain. So, of course, there's a bit of self-punishment going on as well. I had another client who I write about in my new book, The Adventures of a Hypnotherapist, where her trichotillomania was pulling her eyelashes out. That's what she was doing. So, but again, a young woman who had an obsession with shaving her legs. So, if she was going out for an evening with her boyfriend, she would spend hours in the bathroom shaving her legs. And even then, she would then get tweezers and obsessively try to check over her legs to see if anything needed pulling out. So, you know, they keep saying these obsessions go in so many different ways. I think my most recent experience with OCD is a client in the States who hers was cheek biting and tongue biting. So she was biting the inside of her cheek a lot of the time and her tongue. And a dentist was actually saying, you've got to stop this because this is going to get infected at this rate and then you're going to have real problems. And there were 4 past lives which are causing the cheek biting. And the interesting thing was, very often when she was in the past life exploring the traumas or exploring the lives, she wanted to bite her cheek a lot of the time. So in the chair, when she's in trance, she kept trying to bite her cheek.
And so it intensified when she was in these lives?
Yes, it did. Yeah, yeah. So we went back to the roots. We're there in the roots.
It was coming out.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
First past life was it was a Western past life. She was a cowboy in somewhere like Monument Valley. And she was a robber with a gang of robbers, but not happy. Obviously, it was a male cowboy, not happy about doing these holdups. And at one point, they held up a stagecoach, and he shot a mother and children, and then they made off with whatever, with money. As he was waiting on his horse for the stagecoach to come, she just wanted to bite her cheek all the time. It was like he was nervously biting his cheek because he didn't want to be there and do this, and B, of course, knew he could have got killed. And this went on and on, and eventually he took to drink because he was so unhappy in this way of life. And eventually, once he was on a horse, drunk, very drunk, fell off the horse, smashed his head on a rock, and slowly died in the desert. In another of the past lives, she was a circus freak, a female circus freak, and people called her the Elephant Woman because she was so misshapen, with this sort of elephantosis, I think they call it, don't they, with all sorts of problems with the body. And embarrassed and hated being there, people were laughing and mocking her all the time. As you said, we have conjoined twins here, which are like the star of the show, the star of the circus. Everybody thinks they're wonderful and treats them very well. I just get treated like an animal. And she even had to sleep with the animals. And she just felt completely worthless. And again, all the way through, she's chewing her lip because she's so unhappy. And she was worthless because at one point she got really very sick, and the owners of the circus just took her out the back and shot her, get rid of her. She's no good to them anymore. In another past life, she was a eunuch in overseeing a harem for a sultan. So this is obviously in Persia or somewhere like that. And a very kind man, caring for the members of the females, the women in the harem for the sultan. And at one point, the sultan accused him of stealing from him, and he chopped two of his fingers off to punish him. He hadn't. But the fingers became infected, and at some point he then died. So there's a lot of sadness, a lot of unhappiness in that, of course. And the last one was, let me just check my notes. Oh, that's right, in a sea battle on board galleons. So she was a male sailor. In a big sea battle, big wooden galleon, you know, with the cannons, firing the cannons, and in a horrible battle, it was hideous, just relentlessly having to feed cannons with cannonballs and the noise and everything. And eventually the ship gets smashed to pieces and sinks, and she dies, or he dies. So all of these past lives are all in there, just causing this, you know, the cheek biting was her way of trying to keep the anxiety down and the negative feelings down. So, you know, it's all extreme stuff in a way. But, you know, from a therapist perspective, for us, it's standard stuff.
Yeah. And that it works, right?
And it works so well.
Not that you're sitting here and we took them through all of these lives and we cleared all this trauma, and then at the end of the day, she's still biting her cheek. we wouldn't be here doing what we're doing if that was the case. It might sound like all of these, you know, just fascinating stories, but it serves a purpose to get them better.
And, you know, I often say, if this wasn't real, then why are my clients on your clients and our clients, why are they making this stuff up?
Yeah.
You know, why does this lady with cheek biting imagine that she's a deformed circus freak to get better? That doesn't make sense.
No.
As we know, this stuff just comes through. The subconscious brings it through. We release the emotion. It isn't fun, but it releases the energy of it, and then the issue gets better.
And especially, I think we'll talk in the future episodes about some of the fascinating details that people bring forth, which I think is particularly amazing when people specifically remember. Dates and names and numbers on guns, just really weird, obscure information that they would have no way of knowing that we even have to dig to confirm. I think at that point, it's quite a convincer that would have no way of knowing some of this information.
It's
pretty amazing. But really, at the end of the day, it's that they're getting better. So even if we don't understand all of what the subconscious is bringing through, it knows. It knows best. It knows more than we are, and we're just guiding the process to get them there.
Yeah. That is fascinating.
Oh, it is. Thank you for sharing your stories. That was
a pleasure. I just wanted to sort of share a little bit about OCD and make people realize it is fixable, it is curable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Monique. Great to be with you and great to be with everybody. And see everybody at our next conversation. Thanks for watching. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Adventures in Regression Therapy. For more information about Steve Burgess and his team, check out steveburgesshypnosis.com or connect on Facebook or Instagram. Steve's books, The Power of Past Life Regression and Famous Past Lives, are available through his website and Amazon, and are available as audiobooks through Audible. Free hypnotherapy recordings are available on YouTube on Hypno for All. That's Hypno, the number 4, All.